scripture for us. I'm going to invite Coralie and I'm stumbling over your name and I don't know why. Coralie and Chris, I'm going to invite them up. I got a passage of scripture prepared to read, and we're going to do this. There we go. And so our plan is we're going to have Coralie and Chris share with us for a little while, and then at the end of their sharing time, we'll have some time for some question and answer with them as well. And then they're going to stay for lunch. And so if you have more questions for them, you'll be able to bombard them at lunch. Because when you're visiting missionaries, you know, you don't get to eat lunch. You just get to sit with lunch in front of you, right, until everybody's done talking to you, right? Yeah, you're used to that. At the back of the back of the sanctuary there, right by the family camp forms, is a little stand. It's got a QR code on it. And so if you want even more information, you're going to use your phone to scan that QR code. And then it'll all come up on your phone. You'll have more information. Alternatively, I'll scan it. And if you want more information, you can talk to me, and I'll send you the stuff as well. And so I have just a passage for us this morning from God's Word. This is Romans chapter 10, verses 5 to 20. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandment shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have. For their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. Coralie and Chris work with an organization called For Freedom International in Phuket, Thailand, and I'm going to let them explain exactly what they do and how the Lord is working through them. I'm going to hand the floor over to them in just a second, but I read that passage because the idea that being sent to preach to a people who did not ask for them and yet was found by God, I think is just a really fitting passage for anybody who goes out to preach, for international workers, missionaries, people who go to a people who need to find Jesus. And one of our tenets in the Christian and Missionary Alliance in our denomination is that we're to go to the least reached people groups in the world. And so it's by definition people who have not asked. And so I'm going to turn the floor over to you guys. And you have the floor, and I'm excited to hear what God's been doing through you.
Hello. It's great to be back. I don't know if any of you would remember, but 4-3 years ago, a long time ago, I was able to come here and share a bit about our work in Thailand. And since then, I haven't been to Canada. I was in Thailand for the last 3 years during the pandemic. Travel was very difficult. And this is my first week back in Canada for a very long time. And I get to spend it with you. So that's great. And I get to bring my brand new husband, Chris, along with me this time. Chris and I got married about 3 weeks ago, and now he's meeting my family. Thank you. My parents live in Slocan, and they've been there for the last 11 years or so, and that's kind of my connection with this part of the world, but I grew up in Calgary, and Chris is from the States, so this is his first time in Canada ever, so thank you for welcoming him so well. We both work at For Freedom International. I'm sent through the Christian Missionary Alliance as one of their international workers, and he is coming independently from the States to be a part of our team there as well. And yeah, For Freedom International, I'll just give you a brief overview of kind of what that looks like in Thailand, and then we'll share some more. But it's an organization that focuses on justice and compassion for the Alliance, so that means we do a lot of community development and anti-trafficking work. In southern Thailand, there aren't any other organizations that are focusing in these areas, so it's been really incredible to see how over the last 9 years since the project started, and the last 7 years since I've been there personally, to see the way that God has really expanded the work and brought us into great partnership with local Thai authorities, and has allowed us to really impact a lot of lives of women and children who have been touched by sexual abuse and exploitation, and to work in some prevention areas as well. So our focus is to break chains of oppression so that people can encounter Christ, live in freedom, and change the world. And we do that through prevention, intervention, and restoration. I have been a part of the prevention and the restoration side personally more so, which means that we go into schools for teaching children the warning signs of trafficking and how to keep themselves safe online and how to report if they're being abused by teachers or other adults. And we also do community development in this one poor village near our ministry center, and are helping them with their fishing livelihoods. It's an ethnic minority group. So that's been great, getting to know them and being able to minister to the youth in that little community. The intervention program is mostly our Thai staff run that, and that's doing online analysis and then undercover investigation of trafficking tips and doing a lot of casework in order to bring people out of very dark and exploitative situations and help them get set on a path and show them the love of Christ and tell them about the gospel. And then for the restoration side, we also have a vocational training program for young women or adolescents who have been either at risk of or who have been trafficked, and they can come and they can learn professional hairstyling and baking, and then I teach them the life skills classes, which is just a mixture of business and health and hygiene and finance, and it's been so awesome. These last few years, even with COVID, we've been able to see the Lord touch a lot of lives, and so that's a bit about what we do. Chris, what do you do at FFI? Sorry, For Freedom International, we also call it FFI.
It's way better to say FFI. It's way easier. I'm Chris, and like Corley said, I'm from the States, so if you don't understand my accent, I'm sorry about that. I'm just kidding, it's pretty similar. But I acknowledge all of yours as well. Yeah. At FFI, I've been there for about a year now, and I work with the director there, the director of what we call Justice Semester. We call that JSEM for short, so if I say JSEM, that's that. So FFI and JSEM. And JSEM is a three-month program for young adults to come internationally from Canada or the States or Sweden or wherever. And they come and spend 3 months with us. And then we have a pretty intensive Bible course program for them. So we have 9 different classes, so one per week, that the students will go through. And then that's coupled alongside different excursions into Thai culture and exposure to the predominantly Buddhist lifestyle. And so it's a 3-month program that's pretty intensive, and trying to get students immersed into a cross-cultural experience that would just give them exposure to what it's like to live for the same God that you live for here in at your home, like imagining being here in the cusp and then being in Thailand. It's like just a very different environment, but the same God, and different culture, but the same God. And so it's like can be like a pretty powerful experience. I've yet to actually like run the program since I've been there because it's been shut down from COVID. But we are opening up again in September. So we've sent out acceptance letters and are still receiving applications for that. So we're up and ready to go now. So yeah, that's what I focus on.
And another thing that Chris and I serve, another avenue Chris and I serve in Phuket, is at the International Church that was started there by another CMA missionary couple about 8 or 9 years ago when we first started going into southern Thailand. And this church is called All Nations Church Phuket, and Chris and I have the privilege of being on the staff there as well. And it's really interesting working with international English speakers or Thai English speakers in a Thai context. And it's been really fun. There's such a mishmash of people from all over the world in this little church. And it's great seeing that light being shone around. Yeah, the CMA has been there again for 8 or 9 years. And I felt very strongly and irrevocably called to go and joined that work when I was still in university in about 2014 in Ambrose in Calgary. And the Lord works his way and knows me so much better than I know myself, and had such a great plan in mind for me and for us and for the team there. And it's been a real privilege and a joy to serve the Lord there in Thailand. It's about 98% Buddhist and about 2% Muslim in the south especially, and so there's less than 1% of the population in Thailand are Christian, and yet the church is growing slowly. The local church is gaining new members one at a time, and with our organization, it's been such a blessing having a great relationship with the local Thai church. And so our vocational training students are able to attend the church that's basically across the street from us. And it's just a wonder to worship the Lord in another language and another culture with people who have such a different background and no understanding of like cultural Christianity like we do. And that is, again, another big joy that we have. Chris is going to share a little bit more about what's been on our heart from the Lord and what he's been teaching us, particularly about faith and how we need it so desperately every day, and how faithful the Lord is to us. And then we'll share a few more stories about some of the things God has done there.
Yeah, I'm actually going to stand for this part because I envisioned it standing, so I'd rather just keep with that. But if you grab your Bibles, you can open up to Hebrews 11. Steve, yours is right here. Do you want yours? Okay. Yeah, coming here this morning, or actually, I'll just back up. When we were thinking about what to talk about and how to, you know, make this like a relatable visit for everyone, no matter where you are in life or where you are with your walk with the Lord this morning. When we were thinking about, you know, whether to choose a theme or just tell stories or kind of how to go about it, we just kind of landed on this theme of faith. And it's been something that's been on both of our hearts a lot recently, and we thought it would just be pretty appropriate, like where we all need faith, and that's applicable to everybody. So wherever you're at, no matter how old you are, this should be pretty relevant. And Steve, actually, in setting the order of the service and everything, things we've already talked about this morning, you know, with mortality and like living for the Lord and preparing for death, this is like, I don't know, the songs that we sang and then the scripture that he just read, that hearing comes through faith, it all, I don't know, I just see it all being really woven together. And then, so here's the disclaimer, is that, yes, Corley and I live in Thailand, and we have followed the Lord there, and we do believe we're following his call on both of our individual lives and then now together as one. But we're not super Christians or anything like that. Like, we don't have it all figured out. We don't have everything under wraps, and then now we can go ahead and go and obey the Lord now that we, like, took care of all the logistics and figured everything out. That's just not how it works. So we really want to not leave you with the impression of, like, oh, wow, they're, like, really great. We want to leave you with the impression of, like, wow, like, their God is really great, and he's your God as well. And so that's really would be our desire as we leave today. So that's a little disclaimer before anything. So anything we say is hopefully shown. Hopefully we can be honest and vulnerable in what we share and that sort of thing. And then you're encouraged from the Lord and not by us. So, okay. Hebrews 11. I'm just going to read the first 7 verses. So Hebrews 11, 1 through 7. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through this faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up, so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Now, I love this passage, and especially recently, it's been really encouraging. I'm huge on, like, words and defining things. I just think that's really important. And so verse 1, where it says, "Now faith is," I get really excited. I'm like, okay, great. Like, I can actually, like, some clarity and something like that. So I'm going to go ahead and just kind of, like, talk through this passage a little bit, and then Coralie is going to share some stories about Thailand and how we've seen faith and this passage be relatable in our own lives and people around us in Thailand, and then we'll do the Q&A. So first of all, faith, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So it's assurance. Other words are like substance or evidence or conviction. You might have heard it that way. But it's not, faith isn't, what faith isn't is just an abstract hope where you just, like, throw desire or throw some sort of hopefulness in an abstract sort of way. It's a very, like, directed, it's a directed gaze. I've heard it described as, like, the gaze of your soul. So, like, where you're looking and where you're placing and your hope and believing things, so that to the extent where you orient your life around it. So it's not just some abstract, like, oh yeah, like, that could be true. But it's believing that it's true to the extent that you change, your life is changed and you orient your life around that truth. And obviously the truth that we're talking about is Christ, Jesus being God. And so it's not a shot in the dark. Or when I was growing up, I just heard the term blind faith a lot and was like, oh yeah, Christians have, like, blind faith. You know, you just believe what you're told and then you move on, right? And that's kind of the thing. But that's not faith either. That's not how God talks about faith in the Word. It's not blind. It's actually, like, a measured, you're able to have the, like, I don't know, I think substance is a really good word for it, because it's like, it's a substance that you have that is able to actually be checked out. And Christianity, God, the God of the Bible, is arguably the only God, and this is the only book that claims to be truth, that really asks us to check it, right? To actually, like, you can fact check everything in this book and find it to be true. We can talk about morality. We can talk about the creation of the world. We can talk about why things are the way they are. And all of that has to do with strengthening our faith. So however God uses that in your own mind, that's how faith is strengthened. So again, I just want to say it's not like a shot in the dark, and it's not this like blind faith. It's actually like a substance where it's based on believing and on knowledge and knowing things and actually orienting your life around the things that you believe. So I just wanted to define that really quick, and I think God wants us to do that as well, because it's in here. And then the next part, if we go on really quickly to verse 2, the writer of Hebrews goes into the Old Testament, and he says, for by faith, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So just a quick comment here is, usually when I think of faith, and it could be the same for you, I usually think of faith in like the future, something that would be happening. But here it says that by faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God. And if we go back to the definition from verse 1, it's the conviction of things not seen. Faith also looks back to the past too. So believing that God created the world, that the world was created by the word of God, actually takes faith. So if you believe that, you have a level of faith, right? That the first line of that second song that we sang, that Christ will hold us fast, it says that though it feels my faith may fail, he will hold me fast, right? So it feel like we don't always feel like we have the most faith. I certainly don't, and I don't think anyone else is super far off from that. Maybe I am, but yeah, knowing that our faith, it does feel like our faith will fail, but to, like, be encouraged that there is a certain level, it takes faith to believe in things that you can't see, right? And so that's, I think that's the point that verse 1 is trying to make, one of the points that verse 1 is trying to make. So faith looks back as well to the creation of the world. And then in verses 4 and 5, just moving more quickly than I would like to, but with time restraints. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. I think these examples, to me, they give us a good idea. If you were to flip back into the Old Testament of those stories of Abel and Enoch, and then it mentions Noah later, and then the rest of chapter 11 is all about Old Testament saints. I think that if you were to flip back and look at those stories, they don't actually say, oh, it was by faith. You know, faith isn't really mentioned like explicitly in those stories. But here we're actually told that like it actually did take faith, and that was faith. So I think that's really cool that God tells us, gives us a little description in Hebrews in these little two verses here about like these bigger stories in the Old Testament. So I just want to point that out as well. And then verse 6, I really want to zero in on verse 6. It says, and without faith it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So I think whenever we're reading scripture, you always want to be asking questions, like what question does this piece of scripture answer? And here it would answer, you know, what does faith do? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So how do we please God? We need to have faith is a part of that answer. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So if someone wants to draw near to God but they don't believe he exists, then that actually they actually can't draw near to him, right? So this is, again, where faith is crucial and very important. The next verse, verse 7, I think that talks about Noah, and it talks about how he had been warned by God and then took action based on his warning from God. And so this would be kind of the inverse of the first point that I made, that faith looks back on like the creation of the world. But for Noah, like this is also evidence that faith looks forward as well. So Noah, believing that God had told him, which God did tell him to do something, Noah took action on it. So he believed it and then took action. And that's considered faith, right? Okay, so then I will just flip over really quick to James 2:26, and now that we have like a little more of a foundation of what faith is, and then just walking through that passage really quick, just a couple more comments on it, and then some encouragement I have for you guys. So James 2:26 says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Now, there's a lot to that verse, and I would encourage you to go read to get the full context of it. But I would just draw out of that in relation to what we're talking about this morning, is that just highlighting the fact that faith just isn't this, like, belief, and then you just kind of, like, go on with your life, and nothing changes, and that sort of thing. James here really, he says, faith apart from works is dead. So it really is this, like, believing to the extent of orienting your life around what you're believing. So if Jesus, like Paul says in Corinthians, he says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Christians are the ones who are to be pitied the most, right? So if we believe that's true, though, our lives are oriented around that truth. That's, like, the foundational truth of Christianity, of what we believe. And so believing that Jesus rose from the dead, and then all the implication that that has on the rest of our lives, that Jesus is Lord, he is God, he is who he said he was, that should change our lives here today. I always used to struggle with the question of, like, why does a person's death 2,000 years ago affect my life today? Well, I think this kind of answers it, in the fact that if this is true, if Jesus was God and he did die and he did rise again, then faith in those true historical actual realities that actually happened and are real, that changes our lives today. And that isn't diving as deep as I would want to go either, but I think gets the point across. And then, yeah, if we flip over again really quick to, this will be the last time we flip, but John 14:1, Jesus says, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And then I really think that's him giving us that object of our faith. So like I said, it's not an abstract just kind of shot in the dark. It's actually a very pointed direction, and it's pointed towards Christ. Jesus says, "Believe also in me." So not just a God or a type of belief or system or works-based or anything like that. He says, believe also in me. So put your faith in me. And our faith would grow as we understand the object of our faith. Right? Does that make sense? Our faith grows as we understand the object of our faith. So if I'm putting my faith in Jesus, but I don't know who Jesus is, then my faith is going to feel pretty weak and pretty small because I don't know how big the object of my faith is. So a little bit about Jesus. This Jesus who says, believe also in me, he's the heir of all things through whom the world was made. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. He's the one in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's the one who has the power to forgive. And he's coming back again a second time. And the second time he's coming back to judge the world. So these are all things in the Bible, and we can talk more about it after if you want to know where those are found or anything. But those are just small things to, like, consider and think about and ponder about. Is that the Jesus that my faith is in? And is my life oriented the right way around those truths? And is it in a good response to who that Jesus is? Yeah, and then this last piece is just an encouragement before Coralie shares some stories, and then I give a little wrap-up, is that faith isn't, it's not just a checkpoint you pass. This is another trap that I kind of fall into a lot of the time, is I'll think that, okay, now I have faith. Now what do I go do? Like, what do I, like, what's next kind of thing. But there's always a next step with walking with the Lord, right? You need to be walking to walk with the Lord and moving forward. But you don't move on from faith. It's you have faith, and then everything else you do along that walk is through faith and by faith. So faith is, it's always there. It's always with you. And so seeking and praying and asking for faith and growing in faith is, I think, just extremely important and something that I wanted to just zero in on, because I just fall into believing that faith is like mine to uphold, or it's for me to try and make sure my faith in Jesus is so strong and I prove it by doing all these things. But if you read that passage in James 2, it says that you doing those things is proof. You don't prove anything, it's just proved already, like through the things you're doing. And that's like kind of, it's like very nuanced and hard for me to explain, and I'm probably not doing as good a job as it deserves, but anything performance-based, if we're thinking we're pleasing God by just doing things and checking the boxes and reading enough or praying enough or sharing the gospel enough or moving to Thailand or anything like that, that's like, if it's not done in faith, like, it says it's impossible to please God. And so that's just some, hopefully it's eventually encouraging as you can reflect on your life and think of the motivation for why you do the things that you do and why I do the things that I do. It's through faith and a response that God exists. It says in that Hebrews passage, you have to believe God exists. So I think that would just change every part of our life. Like, I pray in response to God exists. I sing these songs in response to God exists. And we move to Thailand in response to God exists. And that's just our personal obedience, but we want to encourage you guys in yours as well. So that's all I have on that. And Coralie is going to share a few stories about how faith has been seen in Thailand.
So one thing that was requiring a lot of faith of me and our team, and I think every believer in the world, has been the COVID pandemic that really shut so many things down. And just as things were shut down here in Canada, we got very restricted in Thailand as well. The government had everyone locked in their own neighborhood districts. You couldn't drive in or out, and we weren't sure how long that was going to last or what was going to happen. The borders closed, people couldn't fly in and out. And it was a very uncertain time, as you all know. But through that, God, again, as usual, demonstrated his godliness, his amazing ability, capability to work through all situations and bring about his good and his perfect will. And because we got shut down for so long, weren't able to gather, weren't able to work in the same way. But because our organization was on the radar of the Thai social services, we were given special permission actually to go out into some of these communities and offer food aid and baby milk powder. And with every distribution, we were able to share the gospel. Verbally, we gave gospel tracts and all the little packets of food. We were able to pray with every single person, and the government allowed us to do this, which again is a grace from the Lord. And through that, we saw people come to faith, come to the Lord. We saw about a dozen people from this small Sea Gypsy village get engaged in the local church for the first time, and it was an area of service that we wouldn't have had if COVID hadn't happened. And so we were so thrilled to see the way that that was a new door that was open. And instead of being stagnant, God just redirected us. And our prayers were answered in our ability to minister to the local people through that time. And those relationships are still going strong and are growing now. And that's encouraging too. We were also able to, despite, you know, having to have restricted funding and this and that, we were able to start our investigations team and actually hire these Thai staff members who have since gone on to work with different organizations and bring four cases to justice. The one perpetrator is now behind bars, and the other three are in the process of being convicted. And there have been dozens of teenagers who have been able to come into freedom from their abusers for the first time, and again have been able to hear the gospel, and some have chosen to surrender their lives to the Lord through that. And so again, we need to praise God for his ability to work in that. And then through our vocational training program, we saw our students come to see that faith is more important than the things they've previously held on to. We've seen four of our students from 2 years ago who then continued on after we had to shut down for COVID and then start up again after COVID and then shut down and start up again. But four of those students chose to be baptized about 8 months ago now, I think. I'm really bad with dates, but I think it was in October. So we got to watch them be baptized and see their lives truly transform from one of depression and listlessness to one of joy. And as they have seen that Jesus is the only true God, as they have believed that he exists and has power in their lives, they have come to freedom from the things that used to haunt them. And then two more students from our new cohort of vocational training students, which is going on right now. They'll graduate in August. They also met the Lord in wild ways. The one girl, it was her first day joining us from another organization. She moved to start vocational training. And this was on a Saturday. We were going to start her training on Monday. We weren't even supposed to have her come. There was a miscommunication, and she was supposed to wait until we had more students. But through this miscommunication, she was on her way, and we didn't even realize that that was going to happen, and we had to start a program with one student instead of the usual eight. But she came with just a few days' notice for us, and it was Saturday, and our house mom asked if she wanted to join her at church that evening, and this young girl, her name means Gem, she agreed to go. It was her first time in church, her first time hearing about the Lord, and as she sat there, this is in the Thai church, she just started crying uncontrollably, and our staff member, her name is Gate, she asked what was the matter, and Jem said, I just don't know why I'm crying. I feel so strongly that, like, there is someone here with me. And Gate explained that that was the Holy Spirit speaking to her, and then right there, Jem, who's 16, didn't have any background whatsoever. She gave her life to Christ, and then she started, once we got a few more students joining her in our vocational training program, she started evangelizing to them. And then another girl, just 2 months ago, chose to give her life to the Lord. She was from a Muslim background and just started eating up everything that they were being taught in their discipleship class, which is every morning in the vocational training program. And then Jem, every step of the way, was encouraging her, oh, read the Bible, oh, Jesus is so great, oh, you need to listen to what you're being taught in Bible class. And so now we have these two young sisters who have come out of abuse, and we will be with them in heaven based on the fact that Jesus exists and that he is good and that he calls people out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And yeah, just for me as well, it was a difficult time in COVID. I was supposed to come back that summer, and it wasn't able to happen, and there was a lot of just frustration and disappointment and lost expectations and hope that I experienced in that year, and it was really challenging. A lot of my teammates left, and so most of my friends were gone. I was there with just a few other people in Thailand, and it was hard. But God reminded me in just incredible ways that he is true, and his word came alive to me, and I started feeling like the words in scripture were for me for almost the first time, it really impacted my soul with how beautiful Scripture is and how great God's promises are. And he reminded me over and over again that he is faithful. And then somehow he brought a man that I love very much to Thailand, and we were able to have a relationship and now get married. And I just can't extol God's goodness enough, and I would love to do more. So please talk to us at lunch.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. What's that?
Yeah, you just hold on to the mic. So okay. We got a little bit of time for a couple questions, and then I got a couple questions for you as well. And like Coralie said, that you'll have time to talk to them at lunch and that. So does anybody have any questions right now, this morning? Ken.
Thailand has the highest rate of human trafficking in Southeast Asia and one of the highest in the world. So it comes in different forms, though, human trafficking. There's trafficking for sexual exploitation, for labor, various other things. And it doesn't always look like we expect. Sometimes it looks like prostitution. Sometimes it looks like pornography. And other times it looks like someone who's just really late on getting their paycheck, but actually their paycheck is never going to come. And so it's very complicated and pretty messy in Thailand, but it's quite prevalent in pretty much every area in the country.
Great, thanks, Ken. Rita. I'll just repeat that question. So the question was, what does your normal day look like?
Yeah, so my day, I'm taking language classes right now. So I'll go to language class in the morning, and then I'll go to the building, which is FFI. So I'll go there for the afternoon, and then hopefully either I get to spend lunch with the Thai staff, and they like help me a lot with language, and I get to they're very patient. and I get to talk with them, or we'll meet up with maybe someone that we've just met at church or something like that for lunch. And then in the evening, after the work hours, like after 5, kind of be the same thing, like try and meet up with people to just like get to know them better, and or go to like a growth group or something like that. So that would be like a kind of like a typical day for me.
And for me, every morning at FFI, we gather together as a team for prayer. And so that's the first thing. And then I teach my classes 3 days a week. So either I'm prepping for class or teaching, or I do a lot of administration for the CMA team, the bookkeeping. And for FFI, I do different administrative tasks as well. So it's not nearly as cool and glamorous as I thought. When I was in university and feeling called to go fight human trafficking, I really sit in an office on my computer a lot, more than I would have liked or thought I would. But that's important and needs to be done. But I love the hours that I get to teach our students. That really brings me life. And then I have some opportunities to go into the village at times and work with our projects there, or join our social workers on visits to different cases with students that we have, and various planning and prepping things of that nature. But, yeah.
Great. Thanks. We probably have time for one more question just in the service here, if anybody has one. Ed, see you over there. Just repeat that question again. So the question was, is the Buddhist religion and the society in Thailand for or against the human trafficking? Or are they ambivalent to what's going on?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. So the Buddhist culture is very closely mixed with the Thai culture, and Thai culture in general is pretty like modest. And so that's like one thing that you would find is like a pretty blatant inconsistent inconsistency in the culture, but just like we have inconsistencies here. So I think that to answer that question, I would say that, like, yes, for the most part, that is, like, that's not encouraged in the, like, actual teachings of the of Buddhist, like, doctrine, what they would teach. But then culturally, there are other, like, cultural influences that would, like, override the importance of the teaching or the lack of teaching.
And there's also ways in which the Thai Buddhist culture actually supports human trafficking indirectly, where they have the belief that you need to make merit, which is like good karma points for your family, and a lot of it is on the children to earn the merit for the parents. And for sons, they can join the monkhood for about 2 months, which most boys do for a season, is become a monk for a time, and that earns a lot of karma points for their family. But for daughters, they don't have that option, and so they need to earn merit for the family through earning money. And especially for the eldest daughter, it's her responsibility to take care of the parents financially once she's of age. And it's just culturally accessible, unfortunately, for prostitution and sexual exploitation to be an avenue for young girls to earn a lot of money. And so they have the pressure religiously to be doing that for their family, and the pressure socially and culturally to take care of their parents. Otherwise, it brings shame onto the family. It's an honor-shame society. And so that does contribute to it as well. It's not acknowledged as a good thing, though. Like Chris said, like, it's a modest culture where sexuality is kind of taboo in a way, and yet you have these juxtapositions where it's just really blatantly shown as well. So it's a complicated issue, but it's not helped, I wouldn't say, by the culture as it is right now.
Great, thank you. So I got just a couple questions for you. So one, what can we pray for? What's something that we can pray for you guys?
Well, thank you. It's a great question. For personally, for Chris and I, we'd love for you to pray for our marriage, as we're just starting out and just getting into Canada. We're here for the next 2 months, and we'll go back to Thailand in the end of August for the justice semester to start with FFI. But if you can just pray for us to continue learning how to serve and love one another well, and our time with our families. And then for Freedom International, they could sure use your prayers in these next few months in particular as well. Our director is going to visit his hometown in Sweden for the next couple of months, and he hasn't ever left since we started, so the rest of the Thai staff are pretty nervous not to have him and his wife around helping to direct. His wife is Thai, and there's a lot of cases that are yet ongoing that need intervention from the Lord, witnesses to come forward to testify, vocational training students to remain strong, and for our house mom to keep them all in order. And yeah, for the students who are undergoing some persecution as well, our previous vocational training students who've accepted the Lord aren't really being accepted where they are and are being given a lot of grief for their choice to follow Christ instead of Buddhism. So just general prayers for God's covering over everything. Anything else?
Yeah, I would just add, like, praying for the church as well there, that we just remain true and faithful to the Word regardless of the influence or circumstance. So, yeah. So.
Great, thanks. And then last question, how can people support you? Or get involved, or I know we got the QR code at the back, but how can people support you if they want to give money or want to hear about what's going on? What are some avenues?
Yes, what's that? Yeah, so we'll have a newsletter, and so you can give us your email at the end here, and we can put you on the newsletter, and you'll be getting like a monthly, update. And that would give you, we would include like just general information, but if you want to support financially, you can scan the QR code for freedom. Okay.
We had a previous QR code that was for that we used before, but now that we're married, it's like have to change the information and the names and stuff, and we didn't bring that one. I didn't bring that one, and we haven't made the new one. But if you want to support us financially, you can do it through the Christian Missionary Alliance, and you're giving here through the church. If you give to the Global Advance Fund, you can specify to Coralie Cotting, or you can do that online on the CMA website as well. And if you like follow lots of links through the QR code, that takes you to the FFI website, and then that information is there too, but it's more laborious.
Great, Barbie, they really are married. Right? Good. Well, thank you so much, guys, and we really appreciate your word on faith, and really appreciate you coming here and telling us all that the Lord is doing through you and in you as well. It's really exciting to hear the stories of people coming to faith and fighting trafficking and dealing with the justice and compassion ministries. It's really really encouraging for us, because I think as Ken's question kind of revealed, we get so sheltered from things like that, both by our media, but also by our distance from some of the things. We get very sheltered into thinking, well, you know, slavery was a long time ago, right? You know, and things like that, and yet it's going on in all around us. So I really appreciate you guys. Let me pray for you, then we're going to sing a closing song, and then we're going to go eat some lunch together and praise the Lord for his goodness. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the amazing gifts you've given us. We thank you for Coralie and Chris and their coming here today, and we thank you for their encouraging stories of how you're working around the world, God. Lord, in the amazing ways that you work in bringing people to faith, in bringing people to salvation, in adopting people into your family. Lord, the way that you're working through the teams, through the different teams to punish those who would perpetrate these terrible evils. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for their faith and for their heart to serve you. And God, for that disclaimer that they're not perfect Christians, and none of us are. And yet, it is you that holds us fast. It's you that keeps us on the path. It's you that holds us up with your righteous right arm. And so we trust in you, Lord. We completely trust in you. We pray that you would increase our trust. Lord God, I pray for Coralie and Chris for their marriage, and I pray that their marriage would be an example of the gospel, that their marriage would be a shining light to those around them, that they might see God in the way that they treat one another. I pray that you would give them grace for each other. God, you would give them increased love for one another. You'd give them strength to walk through the times of storm and the times of struggle. And that you would walk with them, and that you would be the center of their marriage. Lord, we pray for Freedom International. We pray as the director plans on going away, that things would continue to move along, Lord. And in fact, that things would increase in his absence. And pray that he would have a good rest and come back energized, and that all those people who will need to pick up the slack and pick up the different jobs will be empowered by your Holy Spirit to do just that. And Lord, for the people who have come to you and who are yours and who are being persecuted, Lord, I'm reminded of the passage in Peter that says, "Do not be surprised at the fiery trials that are coming upon you, as if this is not happening to any other brothers and sisters anywhere else in the world." Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them to know that they are not alone, that they do not stand alone, that you are with them, Lord, and that all those who profess the Lord Jesus have to bear the cross of the Lord Jesus. And so I pray that you would just strengthen them as they carry this cross, and that they would be a shining example to those in their community about the truth of the gospel, about the goodness of Jesus, and about what our true hope is in life and death. And so, Father, now as we're going to sing our last song, I pray that you would strengthen us and encourage us, Lord. If our hearts have been lit afire by the stories that we've heard, and you're encouraging anybody here to get involved, I pray that you would give them courage to take that step and to get involved in whatever way they can with For Freedom International. Lord God, you are so good. You are so amazingly good to us. And your goodness knows no bounds. And so, Lord, be glorified in our lives and everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Well, I'll have you stand with me. Let's see if we can get the computer to work for our final song.